sometimes you think that you have to be small to work with men in their power.
But you realize being in your power is what works best to work with men. This is the Wayward Podcast.
Hi, Kim Rhodes.
Hi, Brianna Buckmaster.
And hello, friends in our studio audience.
Yes. There we go. We told them to be quiet, and then we tell them to make noise.
Yeah, that's noise. More noise.
We're so conflicting.
I looked over at my friend Victoria, who's in the audience, asking, can you grab me another chair? And she's sitting there petting some fucking bunnies. And can you blame her? Do you have both of them? Whatever.
There's bunnies.
I want the bunnies.
There's bunnies.
They're so cute. We are currently in Jacksonville at the Jacksonville Mansion.
She brought you a bunny.
Oh.
She brought you a bunny.
Hi, baby. You think we're lying? Aren't they cute? Here, say something. Say something to the audience. Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Hi,
so, yes, we're in Jacksonville right now doing our live show, and we did ask the audience some yes-no questions, and we got a few.
Well, they asked us yes-no questions. We didn't ask them shit.
They asked us. That's yes. Right. That's right. Gotcha. They asked us yes-no questions, and
oh my God,
we had a
his
few.
Little eyes are closed.
Don't get distracted, Kim.
Look, his eyes are closed.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I'm looking right at him. You're a liar.
Now they're open again. Now they're open again.
Oh, thanks, Kirsten. Thank you. So we chose a yes-no question. And Kim, what was it?
I don't know. I have a bunny in my lap.
This was a mistake.
It was not a mistake. This is the best idea ever. There's a bunny in my lap. Usually, so here's the thing. The conventions, we aren't supposed to talk about the conventions because we're on a podcast right now. We're supposed to talk about the podcast. But at the conventions, we try to treat everyone equally. That doesn't happen, especially when you bring a bunny.
We've lost Kim, everyone.
It's okay. Yet, I didn't have much to say about this topic anyway because it was confusing to me.
Change it then.
No. I want to hear what you have to say about this
God.
Topic.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay, the question was, have you found that working with this group of actors has made you both stronger dealing in a man's world? So I would generalize this as opposed to like to talking about specific experiences with these actors because I don't think that's appropriate. I mean, I do and I don't. I just won't. How about that? This working, I think, for this long a period of time with a group that is mostly men has had me have an emotional and mental journey that I didn't know I could have, which is great because ultimately this is a world that is mostly, decisions are mostly made by men. So that's why I would say it's like a man's world. Because it is built mostly for the success of men, you know, with asterisks all over the place. But working in a world, a group like this with men that I've become so close to and have had such close experiences with and have come in and out of all sorts of versions of relationship with all of them, has been such a trip because your stuff bumps into each other. I always say that about being in relationship as an adult. Your stuff bumps into each other, and I think that when you're kids, you don't notice it so much because you shake things off a little bit easier, and when you're older, you don't shake things off as easy. You kind of make decisions about who is who, in good and bad ways. But when your stuff bumps into each other, you go, ah, when they said that rubbed me the wrong way. Yeah, no shit, it rubbed you the wrong way. Like, that's going to happen because we all just kind of get a little bit more set in our ways. We get a little bit more sensitive as we get older. And that's our job to kind of float float around all of that stuff. So I feel proud of myself that I didn't work with a group of men and go, never talking to men again. Because it can feel like that sometimes when there's so many of them. And then I feel like Kim and I just have each other. And boy, do we have each other. But it has made me stronger in my female relationships and cherishing my female relationships. And it has also made me need less from my male friendships. Because I feel like when I was young, I used my male friendships. I really, and I think this is to dive into a bit of a deeper topic along the idea of a man's world. I think a lot of us might use the systemic issue of patriarchy and misogyny to our advantage to try to survive in this world and to try and get ahead, which is not awesome, but sometimes it's what we have to do. And I feel like when I was younger, I really felt like I needed to be seen a certain way by men in order to thrive and survive. And I don't necessarily mean like romantically or sexually, I just mean like I needed to be seen by them. I needed to be involved. I needed to be one of the guys in order to survive. And now I go, no, I actually don't. It probably, if I continued down that line, I probably would maybe be further, but I would be, it would be disingenuous and I would be inauthentic. And now I recognize I can be a full-fledged woman and then they can work around that. Where I used to kind of work around them. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Well, I think that what you're saying makes me think of the fact that when I started this job, men were the source of power and granted it to me based on a set of circumstances that sometimes I was responsible for and sometimes I was not. Sometimes I understood what was expected of me, sometimes I did not. But the goal with the power source is to have it given to me as a reward. And then I moved into, which is a very competitive and quite frankly, affirming misogyny. Like, even if I'm winning at the game, as long as I'm saying we should be playing a game, the game is the problem. Not
a problem or a prop?
The game is a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Which girl gets the most power given to them by the men.
It's one piece of pie.
One piece of pie.
One piece of pie for all the women, and they got to figure it
out. So then I shifted into, no, we're going to make our own pie. Fuck that. Make more pie. More pie. More pie. And then, this metaphor isn't going to sound as poetic if I continue with it, but then I realized I am the pie. I am pie. I am power. It isn't given or taken. It is fulfilled or unfulfilled. So what that did, back to the question of working with these guys, I realized that at first I saw them equally as sources of power. Some were more likely or less likely to give me the power, but I didn't see them for who they were. I saw them for what I needed from them. And should be hard for me to admit, but it's not, because it's part of my evolution and it's part of growing as a human being to recognize that I loved them, but I saw them all kind of equally, just in terms of what did I need to do to get you to smile at me and you to approve of me and you to invite me to the thing and you to respond when I walked out. Like, it was still the game, right? And now that I am much more, I don't need anything from them because I am everything I need. And I've recognized that. Two things have happened. One, I have so much more energy that's mine. And secondly, I have favorites. And I have some other people that I just don't care to interact with. And before, the case was, I need you to love me, I need you to love me, I need you to love me, I need you to love me. It never occurred to me that, like, why do you want somebody you don't like to love you? Well, because I need their power. No, you don't. And these guys taught me that. These guys taught me that yeah, I'm naturally, guys have favorites all the time. But why do girls have to love everybody? Why do girls have to have enemies? Why do girls have to? And I don't anymore. Now I'm like, oh, I don't feel the need. I get to be court. There's no one I dislike. But there's absolutely people that it's like, yes, I desire to spend time in that time in that person's company. Not because I need their power and because they're affirming my existence, but because I fucking like them and I think they're funny.
So what the people that you're like, oh, these are people that I just prefer there to be around, is that because you have built that? Or is that because they give you more attention? Or
it
is that
it's actually the opposite. They're the ones, it turns out, they're the ones that weren't affirming my power games. They're the ones that weren't like, ooh, you look sexy. Let me up on that today. Or that they're the ones that are just like, oh, there's Kim doing her Kim thing. And once I realized that that is what I would prefer to be with than somebody who's like, I'll give you all the treats, little girl, because you're doing all the good things. I don't like that energy anymore. I like it to be reciprocal respect rather than somebody who likes me because I will do what's expected of me. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense at all? It makes sense in my head.
No, it does make sense. It's like, it's the thing I always say about outsourcing your validation and worth, I think, is like often women will do that because men, as you say, have the power.
That's what it is. I'm definitely drawn to the guys now as friends that didn't feel obligated to validate me when I wasn't in my power.
Oh, interesting. Where you were like, these folks might have been aware that I wasn't in my power and they're like, great, then I can kind of be in control of that for her.
They like me more when I'm in my power than when I'm need from them. Mm-hmm. There, that's what it is. Men,
your current friends.
Yes, my current friends. The ones that I prefer.
The closest to.
Tend to like me more now that I'm not trying to meet their expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting thing because as a woman, I always received the information that if I do what's expected of me, I will be rewarded with what feels like being liked. But it's not.
Do you know what I was just thinking about? Because I am like, I absolutely share that sentiment. I think that the men that I am the closest friends with and truly friends with are the ones who love how emboldened I am. And when I don't feel bold and I feel insecure, and that might show up as something that's similar to, you know, being brave and confident, but it's actually just me puffing myself up because I'm insecure, they can tell, the ones that I'm close to. And you can tell that it makes them go, oh, I wonder what's going on there, as opposed to wanting to be around me. And that's, I mean, that's kind of different. But I think that years ago, I used to feel like men preferred me when I wasn't in my power.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, there is a kind of human being that is drawn to weakness because they know they're going to be in charge. And
they feel they can swoop in and be a hero.
But that person is ultimately has less power. Because if they're feeling that insecure, oh God, my brain just, it was like a tangle of spaghetti just entered into my brain. I was like, oh, I understand the entire world. Okay. So
happens once every podcast.
I woke the bunny up. Hold on. The bunny's going back to sleep. Bunny was like, I don't give a fuck about your eureka moment. Your boobs are warm. So I used to hone in on the person who was drawn to my weakness. Oopsie, I'm sorry. You're okay. You're okay, little bunny. Do you want the bunny back for a little while? Yeah. Sure. The bunny does like to be warm. Make the bunny warm and bunny will fall asleep. Bunny's like, okay. So I used to be drawn to someone that was attracted to weakness because weirdly they were easier to manipulate. Because it's like, oh, I know what you want from me. I'll do the song and dance. I'll perform. You'll give me the treat, and then I'll kick you to the curb. like, this is not the people that I work with now. This is like in my 20s, where every interaction with a man was an exchange, right? Because the men had the power, my job is to figure out how to get the power and not have to deal with the man after I've gotten the power. So fuck off. So ultimately, the people that are easier to manipulate are the ones who are already insecure and not in their power. So what was happening is two powerless people were coming together to try to take power off of the, and it was just like this incredible lesson in physics of who can suck the hardest. Not in a fun
way. That's what she said. Oh, sorry. Okay, yes. Yeah. You beat me to it. Punchline scramble.
So once I started realizing power is, no one can take my power. And no one can give me power.
Yeah, and that my power is a privilege. That realization for me, really in the last couple years, has saved me.
Okay, let's go further on that one, because I think I'm done with the spaghetti in my head, and let's talk about privilege and power.
Yeah, so I recognize, and I've known this for many, 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 many years, and I didn't ever really understand it. When I would have conflict in relationship, like in friendships, I couldn't understand people. If I backed away from a friendship, it would really wreck people, even if they were the ones to initiate the conflict, right? And conflict made me in relationship, in friendships made me uncomfortable. And so I was like, okay, this isn't working out, I'll just back away. But then they would kind of keep, it was a very toxic dynamic, I think, when I was young with friendships. But I think there's something about my energy, maybe to people who, as we're saying, don't have a lot of confidence in themselves, so they depend on other people's energy. Something about my energy made people feel seen in friendship. And so if I backed away from that, or I just didn't give it to them in the first place, I've had so many conversations in my life about people just being like, where did you go? Or why are you like this with her and not with me? It's the oddest thing. And I guess it could have made me feel flattered, but it really just made me uncomfortable. And so what I realize now that I'm older is that I do apply. And I think this is, again, from being a triple cancer, is that I do apply so much energy, effort, love, adoration into my friendships, and truly, honestly, and authentically. I just can't help it. And I guess if I was to receive that myself, it would feel pretty good. And if I'm to remove that, I know that that probably doesn't feel great. But now as I'm older, I don't give it out because I think it's expected of me to give it out anymore. I think I just go, you're wonderful, you're lovely, it was great to meet you. But some people who I'm like, no, this is a true interaction, I'll go, here's my sun. You get some of my sunshine. And it feels good to give because I also know that it's going to be reciprocated. That's really what it is. I only participate in friendships and relationships with equal effort and energy. And it doesn't have to be exactly the same. I just need the same amount of effort that I give in friendship, which sometimes is a lot, sometimes is not. It's not like I need to keep tabs on that. It's just you can feel when you're kind of doing most of the work in relationship.
And would you say that that is typically the case with a friendship with a man, where it's expected that you, as the woman, would do the majority of the work?
I do think so, actually.
Because then,
but not
you know,
anymore.
Back to this, back
when
to this
I was
question.
Young, yeah.
But back to this question, like found working with this group of actors, teaching me and being stronger in a man's world. And that was one of the big ones for me when I was like, I'm doing all the giving in this relationship.
Yes, yeah.
And that's my choice.
I'm just doing all the work. I'm doing most of the effort.
Yeah, I'm doing all the work in this relationship. And I don't have to.
No.
I used to think I had to
because I was doing the work to be a good girl, so mm-hmm. I would earn my right to exist. So I'd earn my piece mm-hmm. of pie.
So I'd be accepted. So I'd be invited to the table.
Oh, it's just hilarious. Ironic, given.
Say your words out loud.
The number of times I specifically was not invited to the table.
Yes.
I'm like, I did all the right things and I still don't get to dinner with you fuckers? Exactly. Okay, fine. Never mind.
Exactly.
But that's it, right? Is like, I wish I didn't have to learn from pain. See, that's what I also wish, is that I wish that I had known this. Oh, that's funny. Our other topic was, if you had this to all do over again, would you? And this is coming in. I wish I knew what I know now back then, so that I didn't have to hurt.
So I didn't have to put
in the lesson of learning this, right?
Yeah.
Like, I only learned to quit being the one doing all the trying because it hurt,
mm-hmm.
and it hurt my feelings. And I had to step back and go, well, is that person a dick?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you have unrealistic expectations that your effort would eventually be matched by their effort?
I think both can be true.
In my case, it was definitely option B. In my case, it definitely was me recognizing you have expectations that if you just keep doing the thing, eventually they're going to be like, oh, yes, I recognize how much you've given, and I too would like to give this much.
Well, that's it, right? You give more and you think they'll notice you. And ultimately, you just find yourself, I've over-functioned in this friendship. They haven't noticed at all. I'm exhausted and now probably resentful.
Yeah.
And they don't even notice. I'm miserable over here all by myself, and I'm completely invisible to them.
And that is, so it's the resentment mm-hmm. that also, so dealing in a man's world, my strength, because that was the exact word, has it made you stronger? And when I recognize that I am the power, it is a mandate that I surrender resentment. Because resentment is, for me, saying that someone else has the power to define my experience in my own head. So if I'm not rewarded the way I think I should be rewarded, if I'm not acknowledged the way I think I should be not acknowledged, if I'm not invited when I think I should be invited, I can have feelings about it. I'd be sad and rejecting. Oh, I thought. But if I move into resentment and like, he's wrong. He did the thing. He should have.
Yeah.
Then, and I say this with men because they are traditionally the power structure,
yeah,
right?
Historically, yes.
Historically, they're the power structure. So if I blame the man for the power structure, I'm just reinforcing the story that I'm already telling myself in the head. So what I have to do is just be like, I'm the power. Resentment is not an issue here. You can have your feelings, but he's not responsible for your feelings.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think, you know, to touch on what you're saying about managing expectations, I think part of friendship, and I was saying this kind of earlier and about how you kind of, your stuff gets on other people's, bumps up against other people's stuff. When you manage expectations and you go, this is what this person seems to have capacity for. I accept that or I don't, and then I take the power back. By going, the decision is up to me. I remove myself from being a victim of the situation and I go, great, they have capacity for that. I'll manage my expectations of what they can be in relationship, and then suddenly you're in a harmonious relationship again. It might not look like the relationship you wanted or the friendship you wanted, but it's probably a lot more peaceful. And then you get to be in charge again and feel empowered.
Yes, yes. That, like, if I'm expecting a 7 out of somebody who is a kumquat, that's on me.
That is on you, Rose, heavily, yes. Kumquat city over here.
Yeah. Like, if you want a kumquat, have a kumquat. Yeah. If you want a 7, don't go to a kumquat.
Don't do a kumquat.
My people
don't
have,
come. Don't.
Don't do a
don't
kumquat.
Be, I just. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Kumquat.
That's a good word.
I just love that
word. Spell it
so much. K-U-M-Q-U-A-T.
Already bored. Okay.
Quat. Kumquat. Kumquat. Good. Would it be more exciting if it was C-U-M?
Yes,
Q-U-A-T? Okay.
Come on now.
Henceforth, it shall be done.
Is the bunny happy? He went to sleep, though, right?
He's a little baby. My daughter's going to be so mad.
It's into the bunny.
Okay, so wait. Resentment, expectations. Yes, my people have a phrase, don't go to the hardware store for milk. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to show up and be like, I did my part. How come you're not showing? I brought my monies and my, you know, carton.
Also, what is the phrase, believe who they show you they are? No.
Yes.
What is
yeah, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them.
Yes. Yeah.
The other thing that working, I'm just going to shift it a little bit if you're cool with that. Do you feel expressed? Okay, and there's a bunny. The other thing that has made me stronger working with this group of actors in a man's world, I'm going to get everybody at home listening to this on the podcast, prepare something soft to throw, because you're going to want to throw something when you hear me say this. You're just going to, don't stab me. How fucking hard it is to be a man. Because I have been given, since I sprung from the womb, the message that my feelings define me. And as a result, I've gotten the opportunity to learn to deal with my feelings. Men seem to get the message that their actions define them.
And their feelings make them a failure.
Yes, their feelings, or their feelings should be in their control. So when their feelings show up in a way that is uncomfortable, they aren't encouraged to get skills to deal with it. They're told they're fuck-ups. Yeah, they're failures. Which earlier in my life was great for me because I was like, I have all the tools and skills. I'll help manage your feelings. And that was a recipe for an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, we don't want to do the mental labor.
No.
And emotional
because we ultimately we can't. You're not helping anybody. But seeing these men that I love and respect who are not quite my age. They're all a little younger than I am. Hi, Bunny. Bunny woke up. Where's my stuff? You want to come back?
We're just passing the money.
We're passing the money back and forth. Seeing these men that I love and respect not have fundamental tools to process discomfort and yet still have all the power. Like, everything in the world is telling them everything is your job. It's your job to make her feel that way. It's
we
your job
you
to make
power.
That way. We gave you the power. You have all the power.
You have it. You
so
have to do something.
You're,
with it.
So if you don't feel good, you're just a fuck up.
Yeah.
Whereas women are like, no, if you don't feel good, you're a fuck up in a different way. But at least we are encouraged to go into a space that involves feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas men in general are told,
don't feel.
Yeah, or go break some shit.
Yeah. Start a,
go
start
take
something.
Something from somebody else. If you don't have what you need, go take it from them.
Yeah.
They're never taught to find it in themselves.
Yeah.
And so these guys that I love, I watch hurt occasionally. And their pain doesn't make me stronger, but it makes me grateful. And I think gratitude makes me stronger. Because they aren't the enemy. They're just as much a victim of this power structure as we are. That's why when I talk to people about, like, if I'll ask a guy, why do you need feminism? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, unless you're Charlie Capon, the guy will go, well, I have a mom. Well, I have a sister. Well, I have a daughter. Well, I have, and I'm like, so women in your life are an extension of you. I asked you why you needed feminism. And they don't understand the question. Because they see women having more power, equating with men having less power. And then we get into, you think everything is your job. Like, why is shame such a big deal for you? Like, if a woman turns you down for a date, as opposed to a buddy who says, I'm not going for a beer, I'm going to go home. Those are two completely different experiences. If you believed women were equal, that rejection would have no power over you. A woman not doing what you want her to do would have no power over you. You needing to process your feelings because you're sad and need comforting would have no fucking power over you. You wouldn't make stupid decisions and go to stupid war because you have feels that you don't recognize are feels. And it fucking kills. So yeah, I do, I am grateful I'm female because, and that's the thing, like, oh, men have it so hard. Well, in experiential terms, yeah, they really fucking do. And I've seen that with this group of guys that I love when they're processing feelings that they just don't have the tools to process.
I also, on that same wave, am so grateful to have spent so many years working with a group of men, because you do get to see, you know, I've spoken about my personal journey with them in relationship with them, but you do get to see them grow individually, emotionally and mentally, especially emotionally, because it is a small group and we do all really know each other and have been through a lot together. And I can say, honestly, that we're all in a really great place. But I think that, you know, earlier on, we were all like party friends. And that was really fun. And now I feel like we're old friends, you know?
So I would say that, yes, working this group of actors has made me stronger dealing in a man's world. But it's also made me more empathetic. It's made me more powerful. It's made me more me. It's made me more grateful. And it's made me a better friend with some really incredible friends.
I think it's made me stronger for sure. And it's made me so grateful to be friends with men that I really do think are all such substantial humans in this world within their own families, within their friendships with people outside the convention. I see them with all of the fans. I see them with people that work for creation. I see them with us, and they're all pretty amazing guys. So really grateful, and really grateful for what those friendships have taught me about myself.
Yeah. You know what else I'm grateful for?
Bunnies.
And you, Brianna Buckmaster. I love you.
I love you, Kim.